And Luke chapter 16 and at verse 19. This is not exactly a parable. Its form is not of a parable. He says there was a certain rich man. And this parable is about everybody. Absolutely everybody. For we all either go to heaven or hell. And the intention of this story of the Lord Jesus is to outline to people that their destination has to be heaven or it has to be hell. And he tells a story about a rich man and a beggar. Very intriguing. He's a wonderful storyteller. He wants you to be on the side of Lazarus, the beggar. So what does he do? He names him. He doesn't name the rich man. And he names him with a name that many people would have had. Lazarus. And then he has that extra lovely touch. Here is this beggar, hungry, lying at the gate of this rich man. And up come the dogs. They wag their tails. They lick his sores. And we all say, ah. Because we appreciate the recognition that we're in trouble from the friend of man, the dogs. Jesus is indicating whose side he wants us to be on. Not the rich man's, but the beggar's. So what does he say? Well, he says there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, he's not going to argue that rich people go to hell and poor people go to heaven. That is far from the truth. There are many rich people who do believe. Not many in proportion to others, but many rich people who do believe. And there are many poor people who are so bitter about their poverty and the way life's treated them that they don't believe. But bear in mind, these were both Jewish men. They'd both been brought up in the equivalent of our Sunday school. About the years age 13, they'd both been through their bar mitzvah. It's not how it was in their day, but the equivalent. The boys became men, and the boys had to demonstrate a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And what happened? The poor man sustained his belief as he grew up. The rich man abandoned it as soon as he was 13 and gave up on it. There was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in all the best clothing, purple, fine linen, and he had ate every day, had a special feast every day. There was also a beggar. His name was Lazarus. And he was laid at his gate, full of sores. So he had miseries. He had difficulties. His circumstances were difficult. He was sore. And what he wanted was that the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table might just be brought out to him and scattered so he could just have them. But there came a time when both of them died. So you see the story unfolding. We'll all die. And in the story, first of all, the beggar dies. And he is carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means one of two things. Abraham was the friend of God. And Abraham was with God and was in heaven. So he was carried by the angels to heaven. But also the idea of being in Abraham's bosom was a big hug, a big welcome. So he got a welcome into heaven. He'd been treated a bit miserably in this world. But he got a super welcome when he went to heaven. On the other hand, the other man died. And the expressions there. Well, I saw one or two of you looking at all the funeral stones out there, and I hope they're funeral stones of all those who were believers, but look at what happened to this man. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Wow. Dead, buried in hell. Dead, buried in hell. And alert in hell. Oh, wow. This is Jesus. He does know what he's talking about. So, we'll either be going to heaven or we'll be going to hell. I wonder how many of the people there, I wonder how many of the people in the other graveyards it could be truly said of them, dead, buried in hell. But when he was in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. It would appear from other things also that Jesus said, that torment begins immediately upon death if you're not a believer in Christ. It's a prospect that's terrible, that in hell you would be able to see believers made perfect and happy, worshipping the Saviour in joy forever and ever and ever, to know what you missed out on and to be in great agony. But this is Jesus and he's not exaggerating. In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, here's an interesting thing. He got there and he still thought all the old standards of the life that he knew applied. That his privilege would soon still count. That the poor man's poverty would still count. And that therefore Lazarus could be sent to him still to wait upon him. And he's soon disabused, as you'll see. He saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried out and said, Father Abraham. Another way of praying to God is Jesus' way of telling the story. Abraham represents God. He represents heaven in this particular parable. He cries out, Father Abraham, there's an urgency in his voice. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the finger, tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Well, any of you who've sat by someone dying will know that they often need you just to be able to dip your finger in water and just moisten their tongue or their lips, for they're not able to take much water. But you see, he desired Lazarus to do it. And he desired mercy when there had been plenty of opportunity of mercy, but now it was too late. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Now the words that Abraham next says are said on behalf of the Lord Jesus. And they are some of the coldest words in the whole of Scripture. They represent what God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit think about those who've died rejecting Christ. He cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Any help forthcoming? Not a bit of it. Abraham said, Son, because they believed he was the father of the faithful and also the father of Israel to the flesh. Son, Think about it. Remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, you were rich and wealthy. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. Now, he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He asks for help, and what does Abraham say? So what? So what? Son, in thy lifetime, you had good things. Lazarus, evil things. And now the situation is reversed. What do you think? What do you think I should do about it? And it's what the Father says. Hell is permanent like heaven is permanent. And then something else. And not only is he comforted and thou art tormented, but in addition to this, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that whether you wanted anybody to go from earth to heaven, no, from heaven to hell or hell to heaven, it can't be done. It's how we believe in the moment we die that can never be changed. How we are actually believing, how we're committed to the Lord Jesus in the moment we die, that is absolutely crucial. We go from earth to heaven or we go from earth to hell, but you cannot get from heaven to hell or hell to heaven. And of course, this is prophecy. But because if you spend enough money, according to the Roman Catholics, you can pay your way out of hell. I have masses sung for you. And eventually, after a while, you'll be able to swap. Jesus says, that is a lie. It is not true. There is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence, from heaven to you, can't. Lazarus can't come. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Can't be transferred from heaven to hell or hell to heaven. It seems plausible that somebody who's gone to heaven might come and warn us. And that's the next idea that is dismissed by the Lord Jesus. The rich man cried out in answer to Abraham, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Still send Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Well, it would have been better if he'd have been interested in talking to them about the Lord Jesus before he went down, before he died. If that had been the subject of their conversation in their feasting, it would have been much better. I've got five brothers. I'm now concerned for them. I don't want them to come where I am. Lazarus could warn them. I suppose he could have warned them, but he thought perhaps they'd take no notice of him. But it's not allowed. If there are people, relatives of ours, who've gone to heaven, and they know what a bad situation we're in, they can't come and help us. We've got to believe like they believed. We've got to believe in the Saviour because it's in the gospel, because we know we're sinners. People who say they can call up the dead are being wicked, because it isn't true. And they're dealing in lies. If you call up the dead, it's all an imagination. It's untrue. It's the lies of the devil. So nobody can be sent to us who's gone on ahead of us. Maybe they'd love to. Maybe there are aunts and uncles and mothers and fathers and others who'd love to say, I wish, if only I could go back to my son and get him to turn back to the gospel. But it can't be done. So, when it's clear that that won't work, Abraham comes up with something else. Not Abraham, the rich man comes up with something else. I have five brethren that Lazarus may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So, what's being said by God, by Abraham on behalf of God? They've got the Bible. That'll do. They got the Bible. That is sufficient to save them. They don't need anyone coming from heaven. They've got the Bible. Let them listen to the Bible. Let them read the Bible. Of course, it was only the Old Testament in those days, but it doesn't make any difference. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And I think this inspector is freaked out. And he said, no! No, Father Abraham. Why would he say no to the simple expedient of reading the Bible? Well, he knew the five brethren had the scrolls of the Bible in their house. And they were lying there collecting dust, and they were never read. You may have a Bible living in your house that you've never read, never opened. Hope not, but it's possible. If you do not read and understand the message of the Bible, nothing else is going to help. There is no other way. The Bible, the preaching of the Bible, the meditating or the thinking about what is said about the Bible, these are the only things that will help you and save you and change you. But if the Bible is never looked at, never considered, never read, it won't happen. Because even if someone bears witness to you who's still alive on this earth, what they'll be doing is speaking from the Bible or about the Bible truth. But you don't want to know about the Bible. There is no hope for you. Abraham said unto him, well, then Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no! Father Abraham. And then he has this bright, plausible idea. But if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. Now that does sound plausible. If somebody could come back to us from the dead and we're not yet believers in Christ and they explain all about what's going on, then it would be easier for us to believe. The Lord says that way is not allowed. That way is not allowed. If someone came to them from the dead, well, Jesus did come from heaven. And he did come from being raised from the dead. And does everybody in the whole wide world believe because Jesus was raised from the dead? The answer is no. So though that sounds plausible, it's manifestly untrue. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Where's it prophesied that Christ would rise from the dead? In the Bible. And if one comes from the dead, the only one who has the power to change people's lives, raised from the dead, and you don't believe him, there is no hope. To all of us, it is going to happen one way or the other. There will come a day when it's too late. And if in hell we realise that we've got brothers and sisters and family who are not believers, we won't be able to get a message to them. They'll need to pick up the Bible for themselves. They'll need to believe the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. They'll need to repent for themselves. They'll need to serve the Lord for themselves, just like their predecessors did. But this is a very, very direct telling of the Lord Jesus. It's not a story or not a parable, in as much as it refers to everybody of all time. And hence Jesus says there was a certain rich man. There have been thousands of them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Read this parable time and time again. And think about it if you're not saved. Think about it if you are saved. Now is the chance to convince people as best you can. Because they certainly can't be convinced by you once you go to heaven. May the Lord give us understanding. And remember that here we're at the core of the gospel. The core of the meaning of our lives. Get it wrong? And it's eternal damnation. That's what the Bible says, what Jesus says. Therefore it isn't very noticeable with the Lord Jesus. He is not a hellfire preacher. But when he does mention this subject, then he is very direct. Worms that will never cease gnawing at the conscience of the soul who's guilty in hell. He comes out with things like this just to prick us away. But may the Lord help us all to trust and to love his word and to look at the Saviour who died for his own. Amen.